DeMasi Sports Report.
Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
And now featuring Melissa Makos, it's the Coach in Makos on ESPN Savannah Hilton Head.
Low Country in South Carolina and Hilton Head Island on 92.7. I'm the coach. You're listening to the Coach and Makos. It's not really new anymore. She's been around here since October, but it's the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400, FM 104.3, and 92.7 over there in Hilton Head Island. And it's all presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates, because life is moving.
Life is moving. I'm moving slowly this morning.
Yes, you are. It's been 2 weeks since we've been on the radio. How'd you enjoy your weekend off last weekend?
Well, I don't know. What did we do, Markel? I think I slept. Did I sleep?
You told me you were going to go to the ATL.
Oh, yeah. Markel's family reunion, the Blunt family reunion in Claxton. So that was Friday and Saturday.
You're moving slow here, buddy.
I am moving a little slow. I'm a little tired this morning.
She didn't get a cup of coffee. Okay, Markel's going to get a little caffeine. Markel Blunt will be on in the third segment of our show, and we got a great lineup for you. We're going to open up and get Melissa rejuvenated here. We're going to talk about local sports, the Braves, news in Savannah, Georgia, golf. Golf is all over the place. And, Melissa, I know you got to love this.
Yeah.
Hollis Stacey is playing in the inaugural. I don't know why it took so long. The United States Golf Association Senior Women's Open Championship.
What
took so long?
I don't know.
I just asked you when you walked in here. You a female athlete or you're an athlete? I said, are you a female driver or you're a driver?
I think I'm still sleeping. Yes. I don't know. It's 2018, and I still, it still blows my mind, too, when I see certain things like segregation and stuff. I'm like, really? Like 2018? It just blows my mind because, sometimes Markel and I get some looks like,
Yeah, I know.
And it's like weird. It's weird to me. So why
to
it's
paint
taking
the
this,
picture
this...
for people that are listening, Markel Blunt is from Claxton, Georgia.
No, he's from Boston.
He's from Boston. His family's from Claxton, Georgia. He's African-American. Melissa is a nice Greek-Italian girl. So we got a lot of different looks. And
I'm a mutt.
We can get into this. And it's a shame that society is like this.
Right. But the same thing, you can bring it back to the female sports. I don't know. I guess some sports are a little bit slower. And I think a lot of it honestly has to do with finances.
Well, you know, we're in a male dominant
industry for sure.
When it comes to athletics and it comes to sports. And it's a shame. I mean, I've coached 35 years of basketball. This is the only sport I never took a year off. 18 guys, 17 girls. And to me, the girls get no respect.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I remember growing up. So I'm 42. And so growing up, I played basketball in the street with my dad and my brother and his friends in the schoolyard because there were no leagues for girls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We played in PE class and stuff like that. And, I'd ask my dad if I could, can I play like my brother? And, he took me to the Little League to play Little League baseball, and they wouldn't let me because I was a girl. And I guess that was back before, Title IX was, late 70s. So it was after that. But still, I remember getting a flyer in sixth grade to go play for a team in Fords, New Jersey. And so I had to go out of my town to find a league to play in. And thankfully, my parents were very, very supportive and were able to, drive me back and forth to these other towns to play sports because we didn't have any. I played CYO hoops. I played CYO basketball. And the only reason why I was able to play for St. Stephen's when I was in sixth grade was because my dad was, part of the church in St. Stephen's in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. And so that's why I could play for St. Stephen's. But I had to go out of my town. But now it's great. Now there's field hockey teams and this for all the little girls. But you're still seeing on the professional side of things, there's still a ways to go.
And our Cody Queen, who's our producer every Saturday morning, he just sent us a little text because he's in the back room. I was in the Army with the Rangers, okay, which is one of the top divisions.
For sure.
And the most bad
BA
people or BA soldiers in our battalion was a female.
Well, I have a friend, my friend Nicole Hires. She is a Savannah firefighter, and she's been doing it for a couple of years. She was a former teacher, and she decided she wanted to be a firefighter, and she went through the CPAT and all those tests and everything like Tyler Carlson,
mm-hmm.
and she blew it away.
Right.
The guys were like, oh, my gosh, she had more push-ups and more, everything than anybody else, and she's a trainer over at the YMCA as well. And, so there we can do it. It's just – you know, it's, we're just far and few in between. And then, you know, when I say that with all due respect, but sometimes it's hard to be in a man's world as a female. And, you know, there's no, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Being in the Army, that's a man's world. My girl, Casey, who is a Steadfast coach, at CrossFit Steadfast, she's in the Army. I'm not sure what division she's in, right, but she's deployed right now. And when you see this girl work out, please.
Oh, I can vouch for watching you guys over at, you know, where were we? CrossFit.
Steadfast.
Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. Okay, let's get back to the lineup. Okay, first guest with first quarter in the first game. We go from 9 to 10 and 10 to 11. We're going to Fitness First with Makos and the Community Engagement Director, Chris Lancia. Used to write for the Savannah Morning News. He's the Community Engagement Director for a national organization called Team Red, White, and Blue in Savannah. It's about getting soldiers and getting people in shape. And I know Melissa will be happy about this, because if you go to the Tunnel of Towers run here in Savannah, you see Melissa running down with a red bandana for her friend from college. Well, this is the man that's carrying a flag and helping people cross the line, which is pretty special. So, yeah. And I know Chris Lancia for a long time. Great guy. Then we'll get into a little sports talk with the coach, with Kellen Mell. That's right, Markell Blunt, former BC football player, now down here in Savannah, Georgia, moved down here. Melissa's good friend.
BC, remember, we have to
say. Boston College.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then we'll turn to out the first door, out of the first hour. Melissa and I will take 2 points, talk about it, break it down. We'll go into the second game, 10 to 11. We'll come back, and we're going to catch up with a former Wetherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. That's right. He was only a freshman at that time. He's going into his sophomore year. Well, right now, this kid is all world. He went to the Nike Opening, which is a prestigious high school camp for up-and-coming high school football players. He blew out the whole thing. He was the best player there, and that's, of course, Nolan Smith. If you don't know about Nolan Smith, he played at Calvary for 2 years, then transferred to IMG last year. He's already committed to Georgia, but he's the number one football player, and he's from Savannah, Georgia, in the class of 2019.
Love it.
And absolutely, he's going to be a dog. Okay, and then we're talking football. Let's take football. 2 weeks away. Savannah State hits the field. We're going to talk to the Savannah State head football coach, Eric Rayburn. I'm excited about it.
I'm really excited to talk to him. Last time I saw him was on the beach, and he, you know, at Tybee with, you know, Nate and Carly, and I mean, just what a great guy.
He's a great guy.
I'm excited. I think Savannah State, you know, they found their man.
So, all right, let's get into this into the sports really quickly. We are your source for Atlanta Braves baseball, Atlanta Hawks basketball, Atlanta Falcons football, UGA sports, right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. Last night, the Braves, 2-1, tie game. They couldn't hold on. They lost 2-1. Now they're a game and a half behind the Philadelphia Phillies. They're 51-44. They're on a tough streak right here. They're 3-7 in the last 10.
Yeah, but you know what? Hit this down streak right now. Go into this All-Star break, get a quick, you know, respite, and then come back strong.
Well, you know, you're talking about the schedule, the first half end of the schedule for them, the Yankees, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Who else did they play that was really? Milwaukee Brewers.
Phillies. They played the Phillies.
The Phillies. So they've been playing all the top teams. So, you know, you want to go into the break in first, but if you can stay close. So
yeah.
Today, 4:10 at STP.
Yeah, they're going to play back against the Diamondbacks. You got Zach Greinke is on the hill.
One of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, but he's facing Sean Newcomb, so he's... He's been tight, but they haven't won when he pitches. So they gotta get on that that offensive output game.
And the All-Stars from the Braves, finally. We haven't had 4 All-Stars from the Braves since 2012. We got Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis, Ozzie Albies, and Mike Fultonavish. We'll talk about them in the third segment. And as soon as I said football, Melissa got a little excited like they do here in the United States, pro football.
Yeah.
Next week.
Oh, my God.
Training camp opens.
And then 55 days to the first game. The Falcons reporting dates. Rookies go on the 23rd, and the veterans report on the 26th. And the NFL season opens on September 6th.
The week after Labor Day. And then college football is only 42 days away. But they start August 1st, and their first game is August 17th. August 24th.
Right.
So most games will start September 1st. High school football, you got to love it.
36 days. I love how we have the countdown going. You know, a lot of teachers have the countdown for summer break and Christmas break.
Well, when school's going to end.
Right, and we've got the countdown for football. So conditioning starts on the 25th of July, and the first games start August 17th.
All right, I'll let you take the bananas.
Ooh, the bananas. They've won 3 straight. They're 5-3 in the second half of the Coastal Plains League. They're first place, and did I mention they're in first place? They've already clinched a playoff spot. Tickets are already on sale. They won last night at Grayson Stadium, 51st sellout.
Consecutive sellout.
That's crazy. They beat the Lexington Blowfish 5-1. Unbelievable. And former Savannah Christian Prep baseball player Zach Brockman and Connor Tate, who plays for Lexington County, they led the national team in a 9-4 win over the American All-Stars.
And at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, at the beginning of the week. So that was the All-Star game was held in Lexington.
Brockman, only a freshman at Liberty University.
He was the pitcher of the game.
In Lynchburg.
Yeah, wow.
He was the pitcher of the All-Star, most valuable pitcher of the game. They shut him down, though. He can't pitch the rest of the summer because, you know, college coaches tell these college wooden bat teams that, you know, they only can throw so much during the summer. So he's finished, but what a great summer he had.
Yeah, and I like that, Carl. We talked about this at, you know, when we were talking to Dr. Stuart Fife at the Bulletproof Your Athletes Clinic.
The Fife Sports Therapy First Annual.
Yes, we talked about that, is that shutting these players down to prevent injury, and I like that. I like that they do that.
So we can get into later on. All right, I'm going to go through this quick. So, Melissa, keep up with me because we got to get out of here. We got Chris Lancia waiting on the line on the ESPN Savannah Smiles mobile hotline. Okay, so local players, Brian Harmon last week finished at the Military Tribute at Greenbrier, tied for 56 at 2-under. This weekend he's off. He's ranked 26th in the world, 21st in Fed Cup. I'm going to let you do the ladies. PGA Champions Tour, Gene Sowers this weekend's at the Constellation Senior Players Championship in Illinois. He's tied for 33rd at 3-under. I'm telling you, you finished 56th at 2-under. You tied for 33rd at 3-under. I can only dream of being 2 or 3-under, okay? 2 weeks ago at the U.S. Open, he won in 2016. Gene Sowers tied for 21st at 7-over. It was really a tough course. He's ranked 10th in the senior champions division. But I know the USGA has finally done something that you'll love.
The inaugural U.S. Senior Women's Open Championship in Chicago. They're playing it this weekend. And our very own Holla Stacey is going to play. And her sister Martha Leach. They both made the cut.
And Martha Leach is in second place for the amateurs.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Stacey, she was a winner of three U.S. Women Open titles, won three consecutive girls junior titles. Martha, an amateur, both at 7-over. Holla tees off 8:56 a.m. So she's already on the links. And Martha is already on the links as well. She teed off at 9:07 for the final round.
And we got the 97th. You heard me. The 97th Georgia Amateur Championships going on. Georgia Golfer Hall of Fame, Jeff Knox of Augusta, Brady Kieran of Cummings, and Grant Sutliff of Cummings are at 5-under at 135. They lead the field, but we have two local golfers. We have three local golfers. Jack Hall, he's tied for fourth at 3-under. Okay, Jack Hall's like, what, 58, 60, somewhere in there?
Right? He's a young pup.
He's a young pup. Danny Nelson's at 4-over. And Harrison Stafford, who is from South Effingham, played at Coastal Carolina College down there in Brunswick. They're at 7-over. They made the cut. Okay, football, Savannah State, 2 weeks away. This will be the last year in Division I. They got a tough opening schedule, which we'll talk about with Coach Rayburn about 10:30. Here's SCAD for you, another superstar at SCAD.
That's right. They named its 2018 Scholar Athletes of the Year, honoring the top student athlete in NCAA Division I, II, and III. The SCAD women's lacrosse player, Taylor Vaccaro from Mooresville, North Carolina.
Nice Italian girl.
Yeah, nice Italian girl. She was this year's NAIA honoree. And nominees for the awards, and this is what I love, they've got to be a senior or a graduate student with at least a 3.5 cumulative GPA and be a starter for at least most of the time.
Right.
Significant starter or significant reward for their team.
Read Vaccaro's little information there.
All right. She's an interior design major. She can come to my house and help me out. She's also a business minor at SCAD. She's going to graduate with a 3.86. She was named one of Design Future Council's top 20 interior design students, member of Tau Sigma
in
Delta.
The world.
In the world. Yeah, you know, whatever. No big deal. she's been on the dean's list every quarter of her academic career at SCAD, named to the IWLCA Academic Honor Roll, and as an NAIA Scholar Athlete. That's pretty prestigious.
Pretty prestigious. Okay, community events. Last weekend, we weren't here. I went to watch my son play baseball. Melissa went to a family outing. So last weekend, the Savannah Coastal, I call it the Summer Swim League, finished with the city meet at the Aquatic Center. You've covered this.
Yes, I have.
Over 400 swimmers. One team had 120 members.
That's ridiculous. That's awesome.
And it's been going on for like 45 years. And, you know, when they built the Aquatic Center, which you were here for, they said it wasn't going to make it. Well, over 400 swimmers. I mean, in the large teams division, they go by certain members on each team. The Savannah Golf Club, right there on Islands Expressway, they won the large team division. And the small team division went to Savannah Quarters. And this is going on right now.
The Savannah Summer Soaker.
You're in here. You'd rather be there. I know that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But listen, I'm still sleepy. But
the Savannah Races Summer Soaker is here. It's going on right now today.
Yeah, so they picked up their packets, and it looks like it's going to be a good time. They're going to basically you're running and getting squirted with water guns and, you know.
No electric water guns.
No. But it's super soakers and all
no
that.
No attaching hose to the fire hydrant.
Yeah, right. That's a lot of fun. I mean, go out there, check it out. It's on Hutchinson, Hutchinson Island. Across the bridge. What are they still calling it? The Talmadge Bridge?
Right.
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's still a Talmadge Bridge.
It started at 8 a.m., but go check it out.
Hey, the kids started at 7:40.
Looks like it's going to be a good time.
So, you know, I mean, they just Mike Pavlin does a great job with the Savannah races. So go to Savannah Race Online, find out when the next running event is. Well, Melissa, we went a little over, but it's always a lot of fun. Next up, we're going to talk a little fitness first with the Makos and with Chris Lancia. Let me get this right. He's the Community Engagement Director for our Savannah chapter of Team Red, White, and Blue. You're listening to the Coach of Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah and Hillhead. It's presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates because life is moving. Hey, Cody, take us away.
The Coach and Makos, only here on ESPN Radio.
And today's show is right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, and it's the Coach and Makos, which is all presented to you by our sponsor, and we got to thank them, Chatham Orthopedic Associates, because life is moving. And this is what this segment's all about, fitness first with Makos. She's a fitness fanatic. She's here sweating up a storm. She probably ran from the gym to get here, but she's a little tired this morning. But, I mean, just some great stories. And, you know, I think about the Tunnel to Tower Run, which is coming up September 8th. Jane Grisman does a great job. I wish I could be part of that committee if I had time. But I really don't. But Melissa runs with a red bandana for her friend.
Wells Crowther, who went to Boston College and died in the towers, saving people's lives because he was a volunteer firefighter but was working in one of the towers. You know, as on, I forget what company he was working for, it slips my mind right now, but he was working for one of the companies, and I believe it was the South Tower. We'll wait till Markel comes back. He knows.
So if you see Melissa on that Saturday running around, and then she's going to come and sit with me being all sweaty, which we've done for the past couple of years,
yeah.
But now it's legit because she is a co-host of the Coach and Makos. But this guy runs, I mean, I couldn't figure this out. He's always running with an American flag, and I said to myself, Chris, I know Chris very well. Chris Lancia worked for the Savannah Morning News. Now he's a full-time company commander for the Army. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. So I said, I got to get him on the show. And we talked. We were playing phone tag. We finally got together. But what a great story. So, and I got to let him tell you about it. But if you don't know anything about Team Red, White, and Blue, they're an organization to enrich the lives of American veterans by connecting them to their community through physical and social activity. And when you see Chris running around the flag, that's what they're doing. Joining us now on the ESPN Savannah Smiles Mobile Hotline is the man himself, the Community Engagement Director.
Love it.
From Team Red, White, and Blue, right here in Savannah, Georgia, Chris Lancia. Chris, always a pleasure. Long time we haven't sat down and talked, but you're the man with the red flag. So how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show and give a little bit of information out there about our organization.
Well, you're a fitness fanatic. You're into it. And how did you get involved in Team Red, White, and Blue?
So, to make a long story short, we were actually at Fort Polk, Louisiana, and there was a young lady there by the name of Lindsay Harding, who she's a West Point grad, dual military couple. But part of the organization is connect. You know, the mission statement's great. You can that all up. Really about interactions and getting to know people and creating relationships. And so Sarah and I were on Sarah, she runs as well. So we were out running one day, and Lindsay literally stopped us and asked us what we knew about this organization, told us all about it. We got involved, and that was 2012. So we've been playing a role with Team Red, White, and Blue for about 6 years now.
Chris, what does it mean to you to be able to carry that flag, you know, not just in an athletic sense in terms of, we'll talk about how, you know, the heaviness of it and what it takes to carry a flag during these some of these races, but what does it mean to you, you know, as a member of our military to carry the red, white, and blue?
Yeah, so for me individually, I do it largely for one, kind of honor and respect, you know, those who come before us, but also it's just something that I look at for those who can't do it anymore, you know, kind of brings it to them, and it's a huge motivational factor. I carry it on every race, and I've carried it all the way up through a half marathon. But what's great is at the end, when we finish a race, we'll take our bibs off so we don't mess with the timing, and we'll go back out and help people finish what they started. And it's amazing. Sometimes just to run with someone with the flag, But often we always ask if they want to carry it. And, you know, it's about a 50-50. Some people are like, oh, I'm just going to mess up my stride, whatever. But it's amazing to see when you hand someone Old Glory. I mean, I've had it multiple occasions where someone who was struggling at the end of, you know, a 5K, 10K, whatever, just trying to finish, you give them that flag, and suddenly they're like Usain Bolt. They take off the last 100 meters in this crazy sprint. And it's just, you know, it's so motivating to see it out there moving around. And for us, it's all about the community and the relationships. So it's a big part of my, you know, it's my internal drive to be able to help motivate other people to finish what they started, and it absolutely helps do that.
So what is it like training to run with a flag? Because I know sometimes at CrossFit, well, a lot of times at CrossFit, we run with med balls, we run with kettlebells, we run with whatever, you know, we can pick up. And so I can't imagine what it must be like running with a flag that's catching the wind. And, you know, I mean, I don't even know.
Your body weight's not enough. You got to go pick something else up.
Right. But I mean, what is it like running with a flag, and how do you train for something like that?
So honestly, I usually don't carry it when I train. Just kind of, you know, I think I do it enough in the races that, you know, sometimes it becomes a thing where you're also not trying to make it seem like you're, you know, you're doing something just for attention. But when the race itself, it's really weird. It depends on, you know, the type of environment going on. For instance, last year at the Tybee Run Fest, the wind was unbelievable, and it was whipping, you know, it seemed like every step it was changing direction on you and picking up speed. So you get used to it after a while. It does take a little getting used to it, but then you start learning technique. For instance, you got to switch sides of the flag. You learn how to prop it on your shoulder. If you look on social media, just people drop red, white, and blue that are running with the flag. They'll put like a pool noodle on the pole so they can press it on their shoulder. Some people tape it up. It is definitely challenging. It takes your pace down a little bit, and it kind of changes how you run slightly because you're not able to get that natural motion with whatever arm you're carrying the flag with. So, it takes a little getting used to, but after a while, I just, you know, kind of get in the rhythm of it. And then also, I think largely for most of us, it's kind of the reason you're doing it. So sometimes when you have good motivation, you can fight through, you know, a physical, you know, pain that might be bothering you because of the reason why you're doing the particular thing that you're doing, in this case, carrying the flag on a run.
And you're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. And remember, this is presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics, because life is moving, and this man is always moving. If you don't remember his early days, he was a reporter for the Savannah Morning News. That's how I got to know him. We also played a little charity basketball for JT and company way back when, with Dan Ledger and JT Thomas and Lexi, who I still keep in touch with. And you changed professions, and I'm going to say deep down from my heart, having a father who was military, thank you for your service. You're a company commander in the Army, and you just always training and training and training, which helps you with this team red, white, and blue. You're the community engagement. So if we got veterans, and that's your goal, is to get the veterans that are to get involved in physical activity. How do people go about finding out what you're doing? I know you say, I saw on your Facebook page or Twitter, you're running every Thursday downtown. Tell us how, if people want to get involved in this, how do they get involved in it?
So there's a couple ways. First thing is you get it. teamrwb.org. That'll allow you to pull up a lot of information about the organization itself. But it also, when you can register through that or join our team, and that'll point you to our direct chapter, which the local chapter is Fort Stewart, Savannah. It kind of covers the whole region. But we also have a Facebook page. You look up Team RWB Fort Stewart, Savannah. Same thing. You can you'll pull it up on there and be able to see what we're doing. And for us, it's like I mentioned, it's all about the connections and relationships with people. And that's one of the things that makes this particular organization unique, is the fact that we are inclusive. A lot of veterans organizations aren't necessarily that way. They kind of help build a divide between the civilian community and the veterans and the military. And so one of the things we pride ourselves on is that across the nation, 30% of our members have nothing to do with the military. So that's awesome. We encourage everyone to come out and join us and get with us, you know, to figure out kind of meet some veterans and hear their story and form those relationships, because that's the big part for us. What we found is most veterans, when they get out, the one thing that they miss more than anything else is that relationships with other people, because when we're in uniform, it's all kind of built in there for you, and you don't necessarily have to reach out for it. When you get out, I think we've all been in a work environment where you might not get along with someone, or you're just coming in and punching the clock and going home, and so trying to find those interactions is great. And the big thing, like I said, with doesn't matter if you're a veteran, civilian, has no impact whether you can join us on some of our events. Because what we're trying to do is build a better community together and see that, hey, you know what, it doesn't matter if you've never served a day in the military or if you served 30 years, you're the same, you know, when it comes to your interactions in the community and your ability to give back. And so we're just trying to make sure that people understand that and form those connections. We call them genuine relationships. That's what we're going for, because we're not focused on how many members we have or how many people come out to anything. We're focused on if it's one person, you know, that comes out and creates that interaction with someone else, that's what it's all about, and that's what's going to help form that the stronger community.
Now, what's this that goes on every Thursday night that you got a group of people meeting downtown and you're running around the streets with the flag?
Yeah, so every Thursday we do we're big on is consistent events, because, you know, in order for people to plan on stuff, you know, you both know, you're both working in the school system, working for radio, so you got full schedules, you know, so having a consistency so people can actually put it on their calendar and plan for it is huge. So every Thursday we do a ruck, and we alternate between the two. We encourage people to come out and they can ruck, and rucking is just carrying a bag with weight on it. So it can be, you know, a rucksack, it can be a backpack, do whatever you want. And a lot of people just come out and just walk with us without any weight, just to get in the exercise. But we do it on, we alternate. So 1 week will be at Service Brewing in downtown, and we'll go and walk around along River Street, which is a beautiful place to go get some exercise in. So we've got that going for us. And then the alternating week, we will do it out in Richmond Hill, and we go over to Fiorua, an Irish pub restaurant out there, and meet there. And so all that information is on our website and our Facebook page. But this coming week, this will be the week at Service Brewing, and we'll be out there. Kevin Ryan, the owner out there, is veteran. Both those businesses are veteran-owned and operated, and they're huge supporters of us, and they come out and do a lot with us to help us, you know, accomplish our mission together.
Did you ever imagine that it would get to this point where you'd be, you know, holding an American flag and running and basically being, you know, a harbinger for what that flag stands for? And what I really, really like about that, Chris, is that, you know, we do have a lot of these veterans and a lot of these current military members, and we're so involved in physical fitness and that community of, you know, like I'd get it at CrossFit with that community atmosphere. And so how nice is it to be a part of that and to be, like I said, the harbinger for that here in the Savannah area?
Yeah, and it is amazing. It's, for me, prior around that time I ran into Lindsay, like, I wasn't a huge runner. I do a lot. I was in the military if you had to, but I didn't go out and do a lot on my own. And so this organization has kind of brought that out in me and helped me find a love for, you know, those sorts of things. But it's one of the things to be like, running with a flag. I'm not going to set a PR or anything, stuff like that. So you reach back into why am I doing this, and you start finding that. And it's been huge, because my whole life, you're going back to the Boy Scouts and playing sports as a kid. You know, I've always been that guy who wanted to be out in front and, you know, kind of helping take the lead on stuff. And so this is just helped, I guess, push that to the next level in my life and keep finding an opportunity to continue to serve others. Because that's one of the ways that we look at it, too, is, you know, everybody is trying to find that purpose in their life. And that's one of the things we try and hand people is, hey, you can continue to serve. Even though you may have taken your uniform off or you may have never served, it doesn't matter. You can still serve your community. And this is one of the ways we do it. We come out, we help other people, we help form those genuine relationships and try and get people involved in making a better community for all of us.
Well, Chris, I know you personally, and if anybody thinks you're doing it for attention, you're not, because that's not the type of guy you are. I saw you when you were writing for the paper, doing what you could do for the kids in the local sports scene, and now you're doing it with the military, and now you're doing this on the side with Team Red, White, and Blue. Once again, Thursday night, what time at Service Brewery?
It'll be at 6 p.m. this week.
6 p.m., meet Chris Lancia and Team Red, White, and Blue down there at Service Brewery. You're going to walk down the River Street and check what's going on. Chris, always a lot of fun. We got to do more of this. So anytime you got something special, let me know. Let's blow it up. And once again, thank you for your service and thank you what you do for all these people around here.
Awesome. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And I really appreciate you know, allowing us to be on the show.
You deserve it, buddy. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Chris Lancy. I mean, what a great story. What a great story. Here's a guy, back when I moved here, writing for the newspaper. He was in the military before. He re-upped. Gave up his reporter's job. He's a company commander now,
right.
In the Army, and he finds time to do things for this. And like he said, what's great about what I didn't know this. I thought it was just a veterans group getting to that
right.
together, but anybody can get involved in it.
Well, I have a feeling that the Blunt and I might be out there on a Thursday night. because we gotta start training for the Tunnel to Towers. But I love that. I love what he says. The big thing that I took away from what Chris said, Carl, was that he said, you know, after they cross the finish line, they put down their bibs and they go back out there. And I've seen that. And we did that when I was playing sports, where you didn't finish last. We finished together. And so even if there's one person left on the track, or one person left, you know, running or running the last, you know, whatever little bit of the mile, we'll go out there and we'll get them. Or maybe I'm the last one because I'm struggling. They'll go out there and they'll get me. I mean, I've done extra burpees with people at Steadfast and whatnot. And it doesn't matter where I go. You can go to High Performance and they're going to do the, you know, your last burpees with you, or your last, you know, 400 meters with you, or whatever it might be. And I love that. And so I can't wait. I think we need to do something with him for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For Tunnel to Towers.
Yes, we will.
And make sure that, you know, we catch up with him again and catch up with RWB.
Like I said, I'm sitting, of course, you know, I can't do my remote from 9 to 11 and get involved in the Tunnel to Tower run. But I'm saying, here comes Chris again. Here comes Chris again. Yeah. How many times is he going to run this? I mean, here comes Chris again. Then I noticed he would meet the people about four blocks down the road and would come with the flag supporting him through. It's just a great event. Now I know why he does it. Great guy, Chris Lancia. Check out the Carl DeMasi Sportsport Facebook page, Twitter page, Melissa.
I've got it up there as well.
So check it out. Remember, Thursday night, you want to be part of Team Red, White, and Blue. You don't have to be a veteran. They're going to be at Service Brewery, 6 p.m., and they're going to take a little stroll down River Street to get everybody involved. So,
yeah, and you don't have to be a runner.
Right. You don't have to be a runner.
You don't have to be a runner. Just show up and, you know, get involved in its physical fitness and social aspect.
All right.
Aspect.
Well, we went way over on this
one.
But great segment, Melissa. Great segment. So, next up, we're going to bring on Vakel. That's right. Markel Blunt, former Boston College football player, lacrosse player, which I love more. He's going to come in and talk about sports with us. We'll break down some key issues, what's going on in sports, the Braves and the playoffs, and it's championship weekend here in the world, but people don't give it credit over here in the United States because it's tennis and soccer. So stay tuned. You're going to be listening to The Kel and Mel with the Coach on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. And remember, it's all brought to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates, because life is moving. We'll be right back after this.
To the Coach and Makos on ESPN Radio.
And I'd like to thank you for taking time out in your day to listening to the Coach and Makos every Saturday right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. And yes, we have a new sidekick that joins us one or two segments every show, and that's Markel Blunt. Family out of Claxton. He grew up in Boston, went to Boston College, played a lot of sports, you know, unbelievable athlete. He's down here now. He's part of the show. And we call this the Coach and Mel, the Coach Kel and Mel, breaking down sports. And we attended a clinic the other day, the Fife Therapy Performance Sports Conference, First Annual Sports Conference, Bulletproofing Athletes, and Dr. Alexander talking about sports prevention, and there are a lot of things going on. And if you heard what I said, Markel Blunt didn't just play football. He played lacrosse and anything else? Ran track? Well, two sports. He didn't stay at one sport. Melissa was all over the place. Softball,
field hockey,
basketball, field hockey. In high school, I played football and baseball. I got cut every year in basketball, even though that's the sport I coached months. But go figure. But specialization was a big thing in the conference. And Markel, I mean, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive conference with Stuart Fife and Dr. Alexander. I mean, just a great conference, and I wish we had more coaches out there to understand that when kids play more sports, you don't get overuse injuries.
No, you know, I think that that makes perfect sense. You know, growing up in New England, you know, we didn't have football, for example, all year round like in some places, especially in the South. So, you know, it made sense for us to go ahead and play different sports. I actually think that when you do that, especially when you're playing lacrosse, maybe a 10 times better football player. Just different skill set, different agility, different footwork, but all, you know, just enhanced me as an athlete. So it just, you know, all the data points that it makes sense not to necessarily specialize. And not only that, kids seem to get burned out if that's all they do is just one sport.
It's not just physical, it's mental also. I mean, I agree with that. I've coached so many sports for so many different years. For example, as a football coach,
I wanted my basketball players to play my skill positions. Yeah. They could jump, they could throw, they could run. I mean, and my skill positions were basketball players. Yeah. And then when I got the basketball, I wanted the blue-collar workers, somebody like you, your size, 6'3", to do the grunt work under the boards for the basketball players that just want to do basketball. So it all worked. And then you throw them into wrestling, you throw them into baseball, track and field. These kids gain a lot from it. But, Melissa, I was very impressed with how they said specialization is hurting our athletes. I don't know. You were a three-sport athlete, probably 50-sport athlete, if you ask me. Dad made you do everything, golf, tennis, soccer, whatever it may be. But how did you? What did you come away from that conference?
Oh my gosh! My issue was I was really good at basketball and even better at softball, but I played field hockey as a supplemental sport. So the basketball coach was also the field hockey coach, and she wanted her basketball players to play field hockey. So that's how I got involved in field hockey, and it turned out that I wound up being a pretty good field hockey player. I was player of the year in my county and stuff like that, and all state, and actually got scholarship offers to play field hockey in college. And it broke it up. It definitely broke it up. I remember after 4 years of playing softball at Boston College, burnt out. I was definitely burnt out. Didn't want to see another ball again. But I definitely think it works different muscles. And I look at it, and I talked to Markell about it too, because we ran a mile, 2 weeks ago, and I was dying. We ran like a 10 minute 30 second mile, and I'm like, I should be in better shape than this. We spin all the time, we do CrossFit, but it's different muscles being activated. And what Dr. Fife and Dr. Alexander were talking about was activating those muscles, your glutes, your hams, your big muscle groups. And if you're strictly focusing, especially in baseball and other sports that have like a focus, like pitching or throwing or something like that, those muscles aren't going to be well rounded because you're not working them in other aspects. So, if you look at it, like I have a sore quad. So why is my left leg hurting? This one's my right leg. Well, it's because I'm overcompensating. So you have to be aware of, what you're doing to your body when you're not working other muscle groups that might not be involved in that sport.
Well, let's go talk about muscle groups. They stress the glutes, which is the biggest muscle in your body. And if you don't keep the glutes strong, it doesn't keep your hips strong. It hurts the other muscles. I mean, you lived it. I mean, conditioning for football, lacrosse, and softball. Really, I did it for football. We didn't do much for baseball back in the day when I was growing up. But, I mean, the muscle groups is a big point. And the biggest muscle in your body is your butt, your glutes.
Yeah,
it's my biggest muscle or biggest aspect of my world.
Pun intended.
Yes.
It's funny. What I took away, a big takeaway for me, was just, you talked about it's not just about your core or just about, any specific area, but, the hips and, how you walk, and showing some of those examples of how, again, the bottom line is preventative, right? I mean, it's so simple, such a simple concept that I've never heard in my entire athletic career, in my life, anybody talk about the way that you walk and how that will actually affect you on the field, or affect, you're going to have an injury. I can't tell you if it's going to be in 2 months or a year, but the way that you're doing something, you're guaranteed to have an injury.
What's so crazy about that, Markell, is Amy McGuire, who played basketball at Boston College, they said she was predisposed for an ACL tear because she was bow-legged. But she had no idea about that until after she got her ACL tear and after, she went to the doctors and the orthopedics. But I really liked what Dr. Alexander and Dr. Fife said about something as simple as walking and how you can determine the way somebody walks, what's off and what might not be on. And talk about technology, integrating technology 2018 into the athletic world. And, you go to these conferences, and one of my first thoughts is, oh, they're just trying to drum up business. They're just trying to get, people to buy into their product. But this was not that. And that's what I really, really enjoyed about the conference with Dr. Fife and Dr. Alexander, was it wasn't about that. It really was, he was really trying to reach out to the coaches to get their athletes so they wouldn't get hurt, because that could be the difference between a state championship and an 0-whatever season.
Well, we can go on and on talking about this. It was just very impressive. And we're going to be involved in another sports conference, and it's going to be put on by Chatham Orthopedic Associates. It's called the Coaches Seminar. It'll be held Saturday, August 11th at Calvary Day School. Chatham Orthopedics is going to bring over their doctors. We'll talk about concussions. We'll talk about proper warm-up. We'll talk about prevention, education, concussion prevention, which I think we'll get into turn two. So, Markell, you're going to jump into the next segment with us. So we got to get out of here, so we have at least 3 or 4 minutes to end hour number one. Melissa and I just don't know when to stop talking. Now Markell joins the group. So we'll be right back with Turn two. That's taking two trending sports stories, or we'll just continue talking about fitness right here on the Coach and Makos on ESPN Radio Savannah Hill, and presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics, because life is moving. We'll be right back after this.
Back to Coach Carl DeMasi and Makos on ESPN Radio.
And you got it. It's all on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400, FM 104.3, 92.7 on Hilton Head. We're streaming live at ESPNCoastal.com. Go to your smartphone, download the ESPN app, go to Savannah Hilton Head, and we're there too. We're all over the place, Melissa. Once again, we did it to ourselves again. We can't turn two, because this should be turn two, but we only have 2 minutes.
That's all right.
So
we
gotta keep up to the timer, and and I talked about championship weekend. We have the Wimbledon championships going on. Serena Williams is going on right now. Unbelievable. 10 months after having a kid, and a lot of complications there after having a kid. She's playing for the Wimbledon Championship. Then, of course, we got the World Cup tomorrow. We got France against Croatia. I mean, it's championship weekend in the world, except here in the United States. So I don't know what to tell you.
I love it, though. I love that it is championship weekend. And, in fact, I get my ESPN updates and alerts, and I get the da-na-na, on my phone and on my watch, and this morning we got it. I'm like, was that Wimbledon? Because I don't care who's in it, I still want to know. I want to be in the know. And surprisingly, I know it may seem like the general public is not that into the World Cup, but I was at camp this week at Oatland Island. All these kids knew every single player, and it didn't matter what team was playing. They were all about it. So it is big, especially among the younger generations. They're the ones that are not necessarily on social media just yet. So it's out there.
I'm a sports fanatic. I'll watch, hopscotch, tiddlywinks, ping pong, you name it. I got to tell you guys.
Tiddlywinks.
I watched that whole tennis match yesterday for 6 hours. Lancer and Anderson. I watched that whole match. I didn't move from the TV set. 25-23 in that last tiebreaker. I think they got to change the rules there. But, anyway, we only got about 30 seconds left for the first part. Yeah, I sat there and watched it for 6 hours. I was crazy. I was doing my honey-do list, though. I got all my stuff I had to get done, so I made my wife proud. But once again, we got to go into game number two. We got to talk about the Braves All-Star, which we never got to. We could talk about Serena Williams. We wanted to talk about the Major League playoffs. But we got a little sidetracked because we are true red, white, and blue.
Yes.
So, Chris Lancia.
I'm okay with that.
Great job. Stay tuned. Game number two is coming on. We'll be back about 10:03. You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Carl DeMasi Sports Report.
Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
And now featuring Melissa Makos, it's the Coach and Makos on ESPN Savannah Hilton Head.
Welcome to game number two of the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah. And like I say, every Saturday morning, you can listen to us at AM 1400, FM 104.3, and 92.7 over Hilton Head. We're streaming live on ESPNCoastal.com. Download the ESPN mobile app. Go to Savannah and Hilton Head, which is a lot easier because now you just go to the bottom, click on headphones, and go to the stations. You'll find us. And it's all presented by Chatham Orthopedics Associates, because life is moving. I don't know, Melissa. I mean, you were exhausted when you walk in here. Now you're peppy. You got your feet going. You're smiling. And
standing
you woke
up.
You got your little coffee. We're not going to plug where you got it from. But, yeah, we got it from Markel. I mean, he went and got it for you. Caffeine's flowing in your blood. You got a little nutrition, a little food, a little wheat muffin with an egg on it. So you're pumped, eh?
I think it was the food, because coffee doesn't really affect me. But I am.
You don't realize it, but it does.
Well, I don't know. I can drink coffee before I go to bed. And
me too.
And it doesn't really impact me. But hey, you know, if you'd like to sponsor me, I drink coffee every day. So let me know. Looking for sponsorships.
So once again, we're talking about sponsorships. We just helped Dr. Stuart Fife do the Fife Therapy Sports Performance First Sports Clinic, Bulletproofing Athletes About Preventions. Well, we're involved in another one.
Love
Chatham
it.
Orthopedics, our sponsor, and they're cordially inviting you. We'll be there doing a live remote. Come by and say hi. It's the first
annual coaches seminar. They'll have physicians, physical therapists, sports medicine trainers providing information on conditioning and proper warm-up, orthopedic injury prevention and education, concussion prevention, detection, treatment, heat illness symptoms, you name it. It's all going to happen Saturday, August 11th at Calvary Day School from 8:30 to 12 p.m. We'll be there from 9 to 11. We'll be there before and after, so you want to talk to us. Tell us what you like about the show, what we can do to make it better. Their special guest speaker, Michigan basketball / New York Knickerbocker world champion, Kazzie Russell.
I'm looking forward to that.
So, I mean, he's always got a good story. To secure your reservation for the seminar, you have to call this number, 912-355-1508. That's 912-355-1508. Melissa and I will post it on our Facebook page, on our Twitter page, on our Instagram page, on my Face page. Oh, that's already long gone, right? My Face? Was it MySpace?
MySpace.
I thought it was My Face because, you know, you see the faces.
Yeah, that's
hey,
gone.
Hey, we got Facebook. Let's try My Face. Maybe that'll be a big hit.
Okay. My Face or Your Face?
My Face or Your Face. Let's meet together. But anyway, second hour, great lineup. We're going to talk about local news, local scores. We got to get this done. We got to talk about the Braves. We're going to catch up with a former Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. He was only a freshman going into his sophomore year at Calvary, but he's made a big impact at IMG Academy, football player. Just got back from the opening, the Nike opening, which just takes the elite football players by their special staff. Well, he was the number one athlete at the camp, and wait to hear his scores when he tell you, and that's, of course, Savannah boy himself, now going to IMG. He is a Georgia Bulldog commit, and that's Nolan Smith. He's the number one football player in the class of 2019. Can't wait to talk to him. Then we're going to talk a little football, local football, because it's the only Division I football team in Savannah. Savannah State head coach Eric Rayburn, and I know you had a chance to hang out on the beach with him, with Nate and Carly and Liz and the whole gang. Special guy.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm really getting ingratiated into the
All right. You know, you're throwing these SAT words at me, and you're blowing me away here.
Well, school starts soon, Carl.
I know.
2 weeks for us. 2 weeks for us. But, yeah, it was.
What was Chris Lancia?
A harbinger.
He was a harbinger, now, and Eric Rayburn is in this.
I'm being ingratiated into the football world, the college football world, between Markel, Nate, and the people of
Savannah
State. Like,
you've got to be ingratiated to any sport. You're just as bad as me. You'll watch them playing tic-tac-toe on TV if it was a sport.
Well, you know, I had my campers playing human tic-tac-toe. That, and you want to talk about a good physical fitness,
yes,
and a good team sport? Ooh, that's a lot of fun.
Okay.
So I can't wait to talk to Coach Rayburn, because I think he's one of those good guys, and I think we are lucky and blessed to have him, and I love what they're doing over at Savannah State right now.
And then we'll finish up the show with Mel and Kel, or Kel and Mel, wrapping up some key points, three out the door, so we'll get Markel Blunt back. Like I said, family from Claxton. Grew up in Boston. Was born in Boston, but you know, he's got a little Southern blood in him.
Yeah, he sure
his
does.
His parents are down here in Claxton, Georgia now, right?
And his cousin, Mel Blunt.
Mel Blunt, yeah.
Is it cousin or uncle?
Cousin.
Cousin. And is he coming to Savannah?
Mel Blunt, Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, he's supposed to be coming to that golf thing we might be doing, so we'll let you know. All right, let's get to the scoreboard here right away. Pro Baseball, where you source for Atlanta Braves baseball. They're 51-41. They're in second place now. They lost again last night, but it was a great game. They lost 2-1 to another first place. Well, they both were in first place when this started.
Yeah.
The Arizona Diamondbacks. So they dropped to second place behind the Philadelphia Phillies. They lost 2-1. Nick Ahmad hit a tie-breaking single in the seventh after Zach Godley allowed a run over six innings. And the Arizona Diamondbacks beat the Braves 2-1 last night up there in the
STP,
SunTrust Park.
Did you know that Nick Ahmad was a Atlanta Braves draft pick?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know anything about sports.
Yeah, so I love stories like that when he hit the game winning hit against the team that drafted him.
We do a little trivia. Might be you all right at it?
Yeah, I think I'd be okay.
Okay.
I can't do like Sports Jeopardy or anything, but
no, we won't.
I have a lot of weird knowledge about sports.
Okay. Both teams began the week in first place, and we stated that in the first hour. The Braves are on a 3-7. Their last 10 games, they're 3-7, but have since fallen out. The Diamondbacks begin the night half game behind the Dodgers in the NL East, and the Braves fall to 1.5 games behind the East-leading Philadelphia. They'll play it again up at the STP, SunTrust Park, today at 4:10. Who's on the hill?
We got Zach Greinke for the Diamondbacks and Sean Newcomb for the Braves. And Newcomb deserves a victory because he's been pitching really, really well, just hasn't gotten the run support.
Since you all world basketball, softball, and
Field hockey.
Field hockey. Let's go to the All-Stars. This is the first time the Braves have had four All-Stars since 2012. Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis, Ozzie Albies, and Mike Fultonavish. So tell us a little about Freddie making it.
I love Freddie.
Everybody loves Freddie.
I know. F-squared. He's a, you know, he plays first base.
Right.
Like Don Mattingly used to do. And Nick Markakis.
They'll both start.
For Freeman, this is his third All-Star game. He's hitting .313. That's, you know, pretty good.
Oh, very good. 16 home runs this season. He received the most fan votes among the National League.
4 million.
The most.
Over 4 million. Yeah. That's pretty impressive. But this is the first All-Star selection for Markakis. He's in his 13th year, so lucky 13, right, for Markakis.
34 years old, you make your first All-Star team, and you're starting pretty special. Now, Here's a trivia question. Ozzie Albies is the second youngest Brave to make an All-Star game. Who was the first?
Oh, boy.
You got to go back in the day there, sister.
David Justice?
You got to go back in the day there, sister. Back in the
Willie
day.
Willie Mays?
Back in the day. Who played for the Braves and was very famous? Home Run King. Hank Aaron.
Wow.
Hank Aaron made the All-Star team at 21 years of age, 157 days. Osby, 21 years of age, 182 days old. So,
wow.
Pretty special. And, of course, your man.
Fultonavich.
You love that name. Fultonavich.
Can I buy a vowel? Yeah. Third Braves player earning his first career All-Star selection. He's a pitcher. 2.37 ERA, which in pitching world is
unbelievable.
Lights out. Yep. 17.
It's lit.
Yeah, it's lit. It's legit. Too legit to quit. So Fultonavich is going to be on the hill for the All-Star game.
All right. Let's get excited here, Melissa. Football, not far away. Pro football, their report next week or in 11 days. College reports August 1st. High school starts July 25th. You got to be excited about it.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited because I'm excited to see what the Falcons are going to bring to the table, especially with some of the, you know, the rookies coming into rookie camp on the 26th. No, I'm sorry, the 23rd of this month when the vets are going to report, and veterans like Matty Ice, who's, I'm sure, has been doing dad duty with the twins that his wife had a couple months ago. But, yeah, I'm excited about that. The season opens on the 6th of September, and then college football, they start practicing August 1st, and then, you know, they hit the gridiron August 24th. Is some of the first games, and then Labor Day weekend.
Everything is official. Labor Day weekend, the weekend after with the pros, the Thursday night football game. Savannah Bananas, 24-10. They've won three straight. They're 5-3 in the second half of the Coastal Plain League season. Since they finished first place the first half, they're automatically in the playoffs. I think they're already sold out.
Jeez Louise. They sell out every what is it, 51 consecutive?
51 consecutive games.
You know, and that's really, really impressive because, you know, we had, and nothing against the Savannah Sandnats. I really enjoyed going to those games, but there's something special about the Savannah Bananas. If you have not been to a game, you got to go.
It's entertainment. And big shout out to former Savannah Christian Prep All-World baseball player, state championship pitcher Zach Brockman, while he was the All-Star MVP pitcher for the All-Star game that happened, I think, Monday or Tuesday night. The national team, which he was on, won 9-4. So Brockman, he's finished this year for the Bananas. He was on a certain like pitch count or game count. He's a freshman, while he'll be a sophomore at Liberty University in Lynchburg, so pretty special. They're on the road tonight. The Bananas will be playing the Florence Red Wolves in Florence at 7:05. Local golf players, Brian Harman is off. Last week he finished tied for 26 at 2-under. Gene Sowers is playing this week at the Constellation Senior Players Tour. He's tied for 33rd at 3-under. 2 weeks ago at the U.S. Senior Open, which he won in 2016, he tied for 21st at 7-over. Really tough course they played on. He's ranked 10th in the world. And I know this makes Melissa excited because the United States Golf Association has finally have their first women's senior open championship.
Yeah, which is really exciting because we've got Savannah's own great Hall of Famer, Hollis Stacey, who's going to be playing in it. She's already playing.
Yeah, they're playing the last round today.
Right, and her sister, Martha Leach, they both made the cut. You know, Stacey won 3 U.S. Women's Opens titles, juniors titles. She's already on the links, as is her sister.
And what's the best female athlete award named after?
Hollis Stacey.
Hollis Stacey here in Savannah, Georgia.
Love it.
The 97th Georgia Amateur Open is taking place. We have 3 golfers tied for 5-under. Jeff Knox of Augusta, Brady Caran of Cummings, and Grant Sutcliffe of Cummings also. So they're all tied to 5-under, but we got local golfers involved. Jack Hall, which you covered.
Yes.
He's tied for 4th at 3-under, so he's not far off the lead. Then we have also 2 other golfers from Savannah that made the cut, Harrison Stafford and Denny Nelson. Okay. Football, local college football, Savannah State starts in 2 weeks. Last year in Division I, tough opening schedule. We'll talk to Coach Rayburn about 10:33. SCAD had another girl, another athlete all world as far as academic athlete goes?
Taylor Vaccaro, yes. She was this year's NAIA honoree for the Intercollegiate Women's Lacrosse College Coaches Association. So that's pretty impressive.
And only a 3.86 GPA. She's one of the top designer students in the world. What can you say? They like their academics as well as their sports at SCAD. All right. And the last thing, community, just to let you know, that I think it was the 45th Savannah Coastal Swim League City Championship. In the large team division, Savannah Golf Club. In the small teams division, Savannah Quarters. But just to tell you, there were over 400 swimmers there, so pretty impressive.
And that's awesome.
The big race that was probably, it's over right now, but the Savannah Races puts on a lot of racings during summer. The Summer Soaker.
Yeah, over at on Hutchinson Island right across the bridge there. So next year, maybe we can go live from there.
We could. I know he'll love to have us.
Yes.
All right, and next up, we're going to talk to a former Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week when he was only a sophomore. Now he's a senior, going into his senior year at IMG Academy. He's from Savannah, Georgia. He was just announced as the number one prospect in the 2019 class of all high school football players, Nolan Smith II. You're listening to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah HiltonHead. We'll be right back after this.
Back to Coach Carl DeMasi and Makos on ESPN Radio.
And I'd like to thank you again for taking time out to listen to our show, whether it's 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it may be. We really appreciate you listening to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah HiltonHead. And, you know, Melissa is just like me. I get excited when I bring on kids, okay, because these are the kids that, you know, are from Savannah, Georgia. They do a great job. Zach Brockman the other day winning the Coastal Plain League pitcher MVP. Well, this young man has been making waves way back when he was on my show, when it was the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, way back when he was going into his sophomore year at Calvary Day School. He was the athlete of the week. He was one of the top football players back then. But I'm telling you right now, this young man is a five-star defensive end prospect from Savannah, Georgia, who plays at IMG Academy in Florida. He is now the number one player in the class of 2019. He went out to the Nike opening. And listen to these little statistics here. All right, he's verbally committed to the University of Georgia, so he's going to be a dog. Going to love watching him play up there between the hedges. But he ran a 4.5 40. Now, Markel, you being a college man, 6'3", 230 pounds, 4.5 40, okay? He has a 42.2-inch vertical leap.
That's it.
And then he did a 4.08 short shuttle, and then he took a 6.6-pound little ball and only threw it 44.5 feet. And that was good enough to make him the number one prospect at the Nike opening. So excited about it, and just a lot of accolades to go with it. He's got a target on his back, as he told 247sports.com. But once again, he's from Savannah, Georgia. He loves Savannah, Georgia. He is a Savannah, Georgia guy, and he's going to stay here right in Georgia after his senior year at IMG. Joining us now on the ESPN
Mobile, Savannah Mobile
Savannah Hotline. Savannah Smiles Mobile Hotline.
Savannah Smiles, sorry, Savannah Smobiles.
Is Nolan Smith II. Nolan, thanks for coming back on, and man, you've excited a lot of people in Savannah, Georgia, even though sometimes we think that they don't really care about it, but we do, buddy. Great job so far.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
I mean, you were only a sophomore when we interviewed you, going into your sophomore year at Calvary, and you've just grown into one of these outstanding football players. But I know you have to have a lot of commitment in the classroom, too, to be offered a scholarship at the University of Georgia. What made you want to stay home and play for the Dogs?
It played a lot of factors in my when I was at Alabama and I was young, I was just always talking to Coach Smart, and I do a lot of research, and I look back into how many boys played for Alabama when Coach Smart was there, and the only reason that they were getting all their Georgia boys was because of Coach Smart, simply because he was a Georgia boy himself, and as you know, he played cornerback for Georgia, so most people in the recruiting game, he was the pipeline between Georgia and Alabama. And that's where most of the players come from. But as you see, when he got his head coaching job, that all the Alabama commits and everyone that was from Georgia, they came to the University of Georgia because they know the type of coach he is. He's a real, true player's coach.
Nolan, it's so nice to meet you. I'd love to meet you in person, because just looking at your statistics, 6'3", 232 pounds, I would like to race you and see how many times you can complete a 40-yard dash by the time I finish my first 40-yard dash. But you obviously take football extremely seriously. And, you know, as a young prospect, as a young student athlete, what was behind the decision to go to IMG in Florida? And is that what it takes to get some of these stats that you have right now, is to really focus on that football and that academics to get to where you are right now?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Of course, the city of Savannah does a lot of things to help the players grow and the growth of the players. But what I can do at IMG, the city, no one in Savannah simply can have, and that's just the simple fact of the school that I go to. Like, I'll be blessed to say that in high school, I played in Hoover, Alabama twice. Mm. I'll play in Las Vegas this year, and I'll play in California this year in one of the biggest venue high school football games there ever was. And then we'll play in Pittsburgh. I played in Arizona last year on ESPN. And it's just the things like that that I can say that it's actually like when you play an ESPN team or a top 15 team, that they just don't give up. So it's literally the fight the whole game. Like, you may go to any of other game and see that it's 36-7 or 36-0 throughout the first half. And if you look at any of our games, the first half score is nowhere near that. It's more like 7-10 or 7-7, or we're tied up or we have a lead. So.
Well, I was looking at the IMG Academy website, and what I really, really like about this, and one thing you'll learn about me is I'm all about the academics, the student first, the athlete second, and it says on their website, curriculum as competitive as our athletics. How tough is the curriculum and the academics at IMG?
It's really, we like to say it's a real prep college. So a lot of the times that we're getting real college work already in the high school, in the high school level, and people think, oh, well, y'all travel all over the world and stuff like that. Like, if I know I leave Thursday and I go and we have to fly to California, then, and if I have a test Thursday or Friday, then I have to take my test Wednesday. I have to take my test earlier than anybody else. So that means I have to study and go to class on Saturday, which we offer. We have tutoring sessions throughout Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll probably go to the tutoring session all that week, and our teachers just help us. And of course, for guys that just fall behind and not like me, we have a mandatory study hall, a mandatory tutoring session, and for everything, so we can be the best athlete that we can. Of course, we're still in high school, so we're not like college. We're not getting a stipend check to go. We're not playing for eligibility. If we fail class, we won't get to college, and most guys won't fare.
You're listening to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio. We're at the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. This is a former winner way back when he was going into his sophomore year at Calvary Day School. I mean, just a special kid. And what I'm looking for here, Nolan, what I want you to do is tell everybody a typical day that you, when school's in session at IMG, what you're doing, because everybody thinks that all you're doing is just playing football down there. You know that.
No, it's most definitely not that. We got to go from everything from we do a team meeting just like a college, and our team meeting it discusses more than football. We'll go over our game plan, but we have a team meeting every day, and just the things that coach heard overnight or what happened in the dorms and stuff like that. All that stuff during the team meeting. And after our team, my average day is I'll probably wake up at 6:30 and go to treatment for 30 minutes. And then my team meeting probably won't start till like 7:45. Team meeting will last from 7:45 probably until 8:15. After 8:15, we'll go to position meetings. We'll talk about the scheme for the week. My coach will go over who's in mandatory tutoring, mandatory study hall. After that, we'll go to practice until 12. we'd get out of practice at 12, and then we'd probably shower for 30. But we'd shower. Most guys, we shower in the locker room because we want to have enough time to shower in our room. So, like, I'm a shower in the locker room guy, so I can go straight to eat. And the only time I go to my room to change, and then I have school. I start school at 1:10.
So, Nolan, you know, one of the things that a lot of athletes struggle with when they're going through the whole recruiting process is some of the rules and regulations, especially with the NCAA clearinghouse. And it looks like IMG really educates you guys on that whole piece. What was one thing you learned by going to IMG that maybe you didn't know before you had gone there when it comes to the whole recruiting process?
Really, it's all in who you know and not what you know. Because I know plenty of five-star guys that might not make it to college, or they want to graduate early and they just can't because the school or the type of things that they have done their freshman year that they just can't make up for.
Okay, now last question to throw out here. Now that you've already committed to UGA and you got everything under your belt and you know what you got to do for your senior year, what's your senior year going to be like now down at IMG?
Hopefully excited. Hopefully we don't blow the losing streak. Knock on wood.
Yeah, since 2014, right?
Ma'am?
You guys haven't lost since 2014, right?
No, we haven't lost since 2014.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a lot riding on us. And we always say, play for the guys not next to you, but the guys that were before you that helped build IMG. Because there's a lot of guys that took stuff on their back for coming to the school. And obviously, I did the same thing. You know, why is he leaving and stuff like that? And there's a lot of guys that built. But we got a thing called a brotherhood. So, like, Isaac Nader went to IMG. And I don't have to know anything about Isaac Nader. You don't have to know who Isaac Nader is. But if you tell him you play for IMG football team, he'll take you in right away. And that's how it is. Like, I got some guys right now that say they're going to IMG, and I say, make sure you know what you're getting into. It's getting a part of a brotherhood. It's not just you. It's more than you. And that's what I tell the guys all the time. Like, no matter where you go, you'll have the IMG football team label on your back.
Well, you're doing a great job, and I know that I said that was the last question. Last question, Nike opening, being the number one prospect, what's going through Nolan Smith's mind right now?
I tell people all the time, if I wake up number one, I wake up like any other day. It's the things that you got to do when you wake up to make you number one and make you this and make you that. You don't just wake up and say, hey, I'm number one, so I'm just going to sit down, hope everyone worships me. It just makes the target on your back bigger, and I know that. And my coaches, the reason that I really don't want to be number one, because my coaches harp on that. Say, just because you're number one, you don't have to run from drill to drill. And I could stop and walk two steps, and we have periods, and like I go through 14 10-minute periods, and I stop and walk to go get water. We usually run everywhere, and they'll just harp on stuff like that, and they just say all type of things. And we watch our practice film every day, and say, just because you're number one, you can't run to the football. So that's why I really don't want to be number one. I told him somebody else can have it. It's not that big of a deal to me.
Well, Nolan, I know when I met you 2 years ago, you had your head on your shoulders the right way, academically, athletically, and your hard work has paid off. And I'm glad you chose the Bulldogs, so we continue watching you here right in Georgia. Keep it the great work. I know I speak for a lot of people here from Savannah, Georgia, the 912, the Seaport. You're making us proud, and keep on doing it, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Nolan. Good luck this year. We'll be following you for sure.
All right.
Thank you.
What more can you say?
Holy cow.
That last question was it.
Holy cow.
It doesn't matter. He's number one.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Not me. I got to wake up and do the same thing every day. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to just be a slacker and slide right through of it. Very impressive young man, and he was impressive 2 years ago as a sophomore.
Well, and I like some of the things that he said about the academic portion of it too. And you know, Carl, it's hard. That NCAA clearinghouse, that's confusing. And I really like what this academy is doing for these guys. Is they're educating them. They're letting them know about, you know, what you need to do for NCAA clearinghouse. And you're meeting with recruiters. You're going through SAT, ACT prep. So you know, of course, people are going to think that, oh, you're just going there for football. Well, yeah, you are. But you also have to have that football IQ as well as the academic IQ. And I like that.
And school starts at 1:10 and probably goes to 5 o'clock. So great job by Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith II will be following him this year at IMG Academy. And like he said, he chose to go to IMG because it was a place that he can get seen more, which
yeah.
He said it's nothing against Savannah, Georgia, but I'm going all over the country. Well, yeah. We're going to keep it right here. We're going to talk a little Tiger football with the man himself going into his third year as the head football coach at Savannah State, Eric Rayburn. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about recruiting, who's coming back, his outlook, what the season's going to look like. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tiger football here, right here on the Coach and Makos, right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, and 92.7, and of course, ESPNCoastal.com. We'll be right back after this.
Now here's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Melissa Makos on ESPN Radio.
And like we've been saying all along the show, not much more time to kickoff starts. I could smell some pigskin. Can you, Melissa?
Yes.
And it's right here on the Coach and Makos on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. And remember, it's all brought to you by Chatham Orthopedic Associates, because life is moving. And I say this every year, even before this man came over to Savannah State. We have one Division I football team here in Savannah, Georgia, and I'm going to support them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to root for them. I know there's been a lot of turmoil, not winning seasons, but they put the back-to-back seasons with at least 3 wins. There's excitement in T.A. Wright Stadium, and we got to start. 2 weeks till we go till college football comes into camp. I think it's, what did we say, how many days?
46
days to the first game on
42 to practice.
No, we got college football August 1st, 42 days to the first. I know, I wrote it backwards. But anyway, let's get to it.
It's that math again, Carl.
I know, I'm not a math teacher, okay? Yeah. But, you know, joining us on the ESPN Radio Savannah Smiles mobile hotline is the man himself, coming into his third season as the head coach, the head ball coach at Savannah State, Eric Rayburn. Eric, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, it's always a pleasure, and you know, you've grown to love the South Georgia atmosphere. You're a beach goer now instead of somebody that wears a parka 8 months of the year. So you got to be excited about here living down here in Savannah, Georgia. So how have the first 3 years been here in the good old SAV?
You know, it's been great. Like you said, I mean, it's a beautiful place to live, and my family loves the beach, and so we're about 10-minute drive from there. And obviously, downtown is awesome too, and our football team's getting better.
And you don't have to wear parkas and snow boots and all that other stuff too, right?
That's right. I miss that at all.
I know you can,
but I don't miss the weather, not one bit.
You can be in shorts all year long. So, well, you just got done recruiting a whole bunch of kids, and you know they're going to be coming in here August 1st. Tell us about the recruiting class this year for the Tigers.
Yeah, you know, obviously our first recruiting class, you know, last year we started 26 freshmen. So we thought that was a really talented group. We were really proud of the type of class we had, and we felt like we had another good one this off season. So we're really excited, you know, to get all those guys on campus and see what they can do. We have 4 of them actually enrolled in summer school, and so we've been able to spend a little time with them and watch them work out. And man, they have not disappointed. They're every bit as talented as we thought they were going to be. So we're excited to get the rest of them here as well.
Well, I'm going to throw this over there to my fitness guru, and she hangs out with one of your fitness gurus, Nate Scola. So, Melissa,
Coach, how do you get these guys, you know, hitting the gridiron like right from the get go in all the Savannah heat?
Yeah, you know, obviously. I think it's in some ways an advantage for us because we work out in it all year round. I think if you live up north and then you got to come down south to play in the I think that could be a bigger problem. You know, a couple of things. We, Nate, as you mentioned, he kind of oversees our strength conditioning program this past semester. And one of the things that we talk to our guys all the time about is, you know, staying hydrated, taking care of themselves. We had a sports nutritionist come and talk to our team at my last school, and she was excellent. And one of the things she told them was, you should drink half your body weight in ounces of water per day, or you're not going to be hydrated. And I think even the guys who thought they were doing a good job of you know, drinking plenty of water, stay hydrated, realized that they weren't coming close to that. So we try to get our guys to do that. You know, it's hard to do, but the ones that really make a conscious effort, they seem to be able to handle the heat better.
Is it?
We practice in the morning, you know, to try and avoid the hottest part of the day. But it's still unfortunately down here, it's still pretty hot at 8 a.m. So, but I think working out in it all year really helps us too.
I guess most of the guys on the team are from Georgia, Florida, South Carolina area. Anyways, they're probably used to it. But how has it been difficult recruiting kids to come to Savannah State with, you know, moving from D1 to D2? How has that process been for you?
Yeah, you know, it hasn't made it any more difficult. It's just obviously there's different kids now that we would recruit. You know, guys, most of the guys, if they're getting recruited by, you know, Division I schools, you know, we're probably not going to have a chance to recruit them at the Division II level. So we just kind of have to shift gears and try to target the, you know, the best players at the Division II level and try to recruit them. But, you know, I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter. You know, I spent 16 years the head coach at Division III. Recruiting a good player is tough no matter where you're at because there's going to be competition for those guys. So it's always going to be difficult, you know, whether you're Division I, Division II, you're Division III, to get a really good player that can make a real positive impact in your program. It's going to be a challenge. You're going to have to work really hard. So I think our coaches understand that and have done a great job of it so far.
You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hillhead. We're talking to the head coach over at Savannah State University, the Tigers, Eric Rayburn, going into his third season. So you have you had a lot of freshmen playing last year. Returning players should have a lot of experience under the belt. How are they going to take this schedule? I mean, you're opening up August 30th, 7 p.m. on a Thursday night at UAB in Birmingham, and then you got to come back 8-9 days later, and you got to go down to and take on the University of Miami. So first part of the schedule is tough. How are you looking at that part, Coach?
Yeah, it is. You know, first part of the schedule is going to be brutal for us. You know, play really talented teams, and we're on the road for a month straight. I think we played four straight road games, so it's going to be tough. But you know, I guess our guys are going to be excited. You know, obviously, you know, the first game of the season, you know, everyone's dying to get out there and play again. You know, after a long camp, and I think our guys, you know, I think our guys enjoy playing teams like, you know, UAB and University of Miami. You know, obviously they know how talented those teams are, but I think for them, you know, you get a chance to go up against a really good player, kind of measure yourself against somebody who maybe is going to be a first-round draft choice or second-round draft choice or third-round draft choice. And so I think our guys, I think a lot of our guys look forward to that, you know, having a chance to maybe make some plays against, you know, top-level competition and have a standard to measure themselves against.
Oh, it's always big time when you're playing big top Division I schools, and you, like you said, four games on a road.
Yeah, and you come home. Your first home game is against Bethune-Cookman. You know, that'll be nice on the 29th. What is your overall outlook? What is your, I guess, your anticipation for your team this year? What are you looking for from these guys?
Yeah, I want to. Hopefully, we can, you know, take another step forward. You know, I felt like you know, we've improved. Certainly, from when I arrived here till now, you know, last year I think we lost six games by one possession or less. You know, so hopefully we can, you know, with a little bit of experience now, we'll still be a young team, but, you know, we have a lot of freshmen and sophomores that have played in games. So hopefully, even though we're young, we'll, now that we have some experience, you know, we'll be able to make those plays down the stretch to, you know, turn some of those, you know, 3-, 5-, 6-point losses, find a way to, you know, turn that into a 1- or 2-, 3-point win.
Well, I can tell you, Coach, from a coach that has coached high school football here in Savannah, Georgia, and has gone to many, many Savannah State games the last 2 years, I've never seen T.A. Wright Stadium with the electricity it has. Even when you guys go on the road, there's electricity. People know that, you know, it's not going to be one of those easy games as they used to put you guys as a doormat before you got there. So you're doing a great job, hopefully bigger and better things this year, and we're glad you're down here in the Deep South, and keep on doing it, Coach. You're doing what you're doing. It's working out.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Go enjoy the beach before it gets too hot out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It might break that cold up, too.
Yeah, hopefully.
Summer colds are the worst. You know that.
I don't know anyone that can get a cold in July except for me.
But. Oh, me. Melissa Makos does.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Have a good one. Tell everybody said hello.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye, Coach.
I mean, he's positive. He comes from a winning Division III program, Wabash. You got to love their nickname, the Little Giants.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done a great job here. They've won 3 games back-to-back, which is big for Savannah State. But like you said, 1 or 2 possessions. So, I mean, pretty impressive.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, you can sometimes learn more from a loss than you can from a win. And so I think that's a great perspective for him to have is that, you know, They took some on the head last year. They took some, you know, on the back last year, and now you just got to keep moving forward. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Exactly.
So now that he's got with all those
freshmen and sophomores getting experience,
and he's got his recruits in there. Being his third year, he's got a bunch of his own recruits.
His boys are
there.
Mm-hmm. So
and a lot of local kids too. I love it.
Well, we're gonna try and do 3 out the door here, but once again, Melissa and I have extended the time limit on our guests, but that's what it's all about. Nolan Smith, the second UGA commit, plays at IMG from Savannah, Georgia. And, of course, Coach Eric Rayburn. Great, great interviews, both of those.
Yeah, we need to talk to Charlie Kay about getting us another hour.
Another hour. We'll be back. You're listening to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio. Wrapping this up. And, Cody, do your thing.
Now here's more of the Coach and Makos on ESPN Radio.
Time keeps on slipping. Didn't I do this last time with Steve Miller Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
And welcome back to the Coach and Makos, not to the Coach Tomasi School of Singing, because it wouldn't get you anywhere. But once again, it's the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, and we're having a lot of fun. Of course, we leave us no time at the end, and I'll make this quick. 3 out the door. We got the Kel, Markel Blunt. We got the Mel, Melissa Makos. Okay, 3 out the door. Favorite one. Okay, we'll start off with number 1. Favorite sports food, Melissa Makos.
Okay, so I love, and I think Markel can finally attest to this because we haven't been to too many baseball games, but I love the hot pretzels with salt and mustard. And you can get them at Historic Grayson Stadium. Now, if you do go...
Would that be number 1 on everybody's list, though?
No, probably not, but that's number 1 for me. Oh, I thought you were asking me what my number 1 sport is. Okay. Yeah, and then Yankee Stadium has some really good ones. Now, I will say when I used to go to Fenway Park when I lived in Boston, they had the hot pretzels with sesame seeds. Blech. Like, I don't like, that's no. You need the salt.
Don't hate us because we, you know, we had a little
you had to go
ingenuity
to a,
with our pretzels.
Yeah, but you had to go to, like, the special, like, salt, like kiosk. You couldn't go to, like, the counter and get your pretzel with salt.
For me, I keep it real simple. Just give me a hot dog. At the park. That's all I want. That's all I need is a hot dog. So, simple.
Man after my own heart. I'll go with the hot dog, but I will add a pretzel to it. I'll put the mustard on it, but my wife won't, okay? Number 2, we'll start off with Markel. Famous favorite sports movie.
Oh, man. There's so many. I'm going to have to say Remember the Titans is my favorite sports movie.
I'm old school. I like The Natural. With the lightning hit, the guy hit the Robert Redford hits the home run, and the lightning crashes. Yes.
All right, I'm gonna go. Yo, Adrian! Oh. I love you. Yeah, Rocky. I must have seen this.
I mean, I was a senior year in high school. I had a friend that worked at the movie theater. I think the first week it came out, I watched it 20 times. So I got to go with Rocky, the man that, you know, behind the odds, the underdog, I had to go with. Okay, last one. Most favorite all-star game.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah, you go first.
My favorite all-star game is, of course, baseball. The Home Run Derby, coming back with the game, the Midsummer Classic. I'm a baseball purist. I love baseball. I got to go with baseball.
I got to go with baseball, too. I went to the all-star game at Fenway Park in 1999, and nothing beats the Home Run Derby.
Look, Carl, I don't like all-star games, so I'm going to say zero because I don't like them. I think they're worthless. I think it's all about the end of the season, who wins, and then give me the awards.
Well, we got to expand on this next week. We got to keep this at the end of the show. Give us more time. Melissa, the 2 hours is over.
Time keeps on slipping.
Well, you know, it always flies by. Thank the man in the back booth.
Yeah, Cody Queen, you the man.
Keep in mind, following the show, we'll have Braves baseball on today at 4:10, Braves baseball on tomorrow at 1:35. Every Saturday morning from 9 until 11, right here on ESPN Radio, you can listen to Coach and Makos. And until next weekend, may it be your best week ever. And as we say every weekend,
always hit it out of the park.
We'll talk to you next weekend. Have a good one. The Coach and Makos, we'll see you then.
This has been the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400 and FM 104.3.